Welcome to the Laundry Hour, a podcast encouraging stay-at-home moms to fulfill their God-given and extraordinary purpose in their seemingly ordinary lives. I'm your host, Jamie Williams. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Laundry Hour. If you were looking for an episode last week, I apologize so much. I wish there was a way that I could have quickly shared with you that there wouldn't have been an episode last week. My family and I went to a family camp in Michigan for the whole week, and I kind of had like this thought, like, how am I going to post an episode? I didn't have anything recorded. I'm going to be really busy. And then the week just got away from me, and I was like, well, poo. But similar to when my husband and I went to a Bethel worship music concert thing, I talked about that experience. I said, well, cool, I can talk about Brown City. Since I wasn't here last week, I'll let you know what I was doing and how it affected me today. So I hope that this episode makes up for the fact that I didn't have one last week. I did notice, though, that since I did miss a week, I got a lot more listeners to last 2 weeks ago. The last episode I did, which was 2 weeks ago. And I thought that was kind of cool. So, either way, thank you for listening. Thank you for being here. And I hope that this episode encourages you as the time at Brown City Camp encouraged me. So first I like to say, Brown City Camp apparently has been going on for like over 100 years, and it happens in Brown City, Michigan, and like over, I feel like 2,000 people come to this small town for 11 days, and they live in like trailers or campers or tents, like a camp would be. And it's kind of like this idyllic little community just for a small time, but yet it happens every summer. And people have been going since before they were born. Like, we saw elderly people talking about how their parents brought them here, or how the house that they currently now use was their grandparents' house. And it's just so crazy and cool to see like how this thing has continued over the years and has grown and become what it is today. And so that's just pretty crazy. And it's a Christian family camp, so there are morning sermons and evening sermons, and then like afternoon sessions, and there's stuff for all ages of kids and young adults and like I get regular adults, I don't know. And so it is just good for all the families. Like, there is no pool, there are no rides or anything. It honestly is just people living, listening to sermons, spending time with the people. I think that was the biggest thing that was like mind-boggling for us, was just the fact that all of these people gather every year to do this, and that it's been going on for so long. Like, we have conferences nowadays where you can gather a lot of people, but it's only for a short time. Everybody else goes, like, you go home or you go to your hotel and you come back and gather. But like, people stay here for 11 days. Like, you live at this place. Like, people get off work for this. Or I even heard somebody threatened to quit their job over if they couldn't come. Like, it's a big deal. And it's crazy to think that I've never heard of it. But we were invited by a family that we know and love here so very much, and they have been going for the last 4 years, and we've heard them talk about it. And so we were kind of like, let's go see what this is all about. And we're really grateful that we did. One of the prayers that we had going up is that we would meet like a family there on our own. Like, obviously, since we were invited by a family, they were going to introduce us to all of the people that they knew, which was going to be cool and fun and fine. But my husband and I were like, we would love to meet somebody, like, on our own, like, that we have made a relationship with, you know, without the help of our friends. Because we should be able to make friends by ourselves, right? And it's really cool how the Lord answered that prayer on the first day that we were there. So we didn't stay the 11 days. We stayed about 5 days. We got there on Sunday and left Friday morning. And Sunday was a big day. Like, we drove there from my friend's house. So that was just a 2-hour trip in the morning. And then we had the morning service, and then we had like an afternoon concert, and then we had the evening service. And as you know, we have a 2.5 and a 1.5-year-old, and they were like, dude, I am restless. I don't want to sit in a seat anymore. And so we walked outside of like this like outdoor sanctuary, and there are people sitting like in their chairs or in their golf carts around it, and there's a few houses and tents and things around it too. And so we're like, well, let's go find this bench. And we found it, and it's in front of these people's house, and they're sitting on their porch. And so we engage in a conversation with them, and it was so cool. Like, their daughter is named Jamie, just like me. And then just having conversations with them about children and adoption, and they had toys, and of course our girls were super happy about that, so they played with their toys. And It was really cool how God answered that prayer. And throughout the week, we made sure to see them. Their daughter even babysat our girls, took them to the park, and that was really sweet and really helpful. I don't know. I think both my husband and I would say that that was probably a highlight, that we prayed for something and that God answered it the day we got there. And even possible that this family may help us in the future with a place to stay, because we stayed at a hotel, so we didn't actually get the experience of staying on the campgrounds, but they may help us next year with a place to stay. So, pretty divine appointment, we'd say. So another amazing thing that happened at Brown City is the family that we went with, we got to like spend a lot of time with them, which was really good and fun and sweet. And just the conversations that we had, and the things that we learned from them. And one of the main things is that they have 5 children, all of whom are older than our children. And it was really interesting to watch them parent their kids throughout the week. You know, like, you get to see certain moments of people's life, but you know, spending a week with people, you get to see a little bit more, you know. And we learned a really valuable lesson about parenting while watching them. We already knew that they were pretty intentional about everything that they do, but this week we learned how it's not only important to be intentional in the present, but having your decisions that you make in the present be like with your sights on the future. So thinking about discipline, like, yes, I want to stop this bad behavior now, but however I stop it now could affect who they become in the future. For example, I don't know if you spank your kids, but we do, and we call it a pop, like just a pop on the hand or a pop on the leg or something. And sometimes, like, now we don't pop Noah Brynn, but we'll just tell her, like, if you don't do that again, I'll pop you, something like that. And okay, it'll stop the behavior. We didn't have to do it, but I guess it was the fear of the threat that, you know, causes the obedience or whatever. But we noticed that eventually she would be like, are you gonna pop me? Like, And then I'll be like, no, I'm just going to give you a hug. And she said, and then you're going to pop me? And that just was really interesting to me. Like, huh, does that mean I don't pop her? I'm not fully sure how to navigate that. But what it does say to me is that shouldn't be the only way that I discipline her. And it's not the only way, but it's interesting how this present moment has affected her future, in the sense that now she is just like constantly thinking she's gonna get popped. And so, is that what I want her to think? Or do I want her to think, I want to listen to mommy and daddy? Obviously, the pop is to cause her to listen, right? But is she's thinking more about the punishment than she is the command. So, anyways, that was a long way of saying we learned that we should really be having our sights on the future when it comes to how we parent. Like, what is what I'm going to do right now? How is that going to affect their future? Like, the conversations we have, the way they're really close to me, is that going to make them too dependent in the future? Or the way that I'm very distant from them, is that going to strain our relationship in the future? Like, those kind of questions. And of course, there is no right or wrong answer, and it's not black or white, and we have to depend on the Holy Spirit and pray, and it's not just one or another. Sometimes it's all of the above. But the point of the story is having those conversations and thinking about those things is really important, and we're grateful that we got to see that in action in their family, but then also see it in action in ours too. One other amazing thing that we learned from that family was Acts 17:11. I don't know if you've ever read that verse, but it talks about the people in Berea and how Paul and Silas go and share the gospel with them, and they're super excited about what they have heard. The Bible even calls them noble for what they do. And what they did was they examined the scriptures daily to see if these things that Paul and Silas were saying were so. So if you look at any of like the examples in Acts where the apostles and the disciples are saying, like, this Jesus who was prophesied in the Old Testament, he is the one, he's the Messiah, right? So they didn't have the New Testament to look at, but they had the Old Testament to look at and say, what were those prophecies? Let me go look back at that. Let me go look at what Peter said about David. Let me go read that again, to see if it truly was so. Not just believing what they heard from these missionaries, right? But truly looking at God's word and saying, is that true? And obviously we sat and listened to sermons all week. And the father of this family that we went with, he's always on his phone during a sermon. I was like, what are you doing? And he was like, I like to fact check as I'm listening to a sermon, just to make sure what I'm hearing is true. And sometimes it's not true, and then sometimes it is. Because unintentionally, what I hear, I'm going to internalize, and then I'll probably repeat. And I don't want to repeat something that's not true. That legitimately blew my mind. Me and my husband's mind. It blew it. And we were like, oh my gosh, you're so right. I just listen. And there are times where I do look at scripture or question what I've heard. But like, when something makes sense, quote unquote, or if something's new, I'm like, huh, never thought of it that way. Rather than looking at scripture and saying, is that what that actually says? So that was just also another practical tip that we learned and that we are now my husband and I are trying to apply, not only when we sit and listen to sermons, but when we sit and read scripture together, or when we have conversations. Like, my husband doesn't easily believe what people say just because they say it, even me, which is hard sometimes because I'm like, I'm your wife. But I appreciate that now. I mean, I appreciated it then because I understood, but it, you know, still hurt because I was like, oh, it's me. But I appreciate the practice of just making sure it's true. Like, and if it's true, fantastic. Great. And if it's not, okay, now we need to study and figure out what that means. What does this verse mean? What does this chapter mean? What does this word mean? Because if God's word is Him speaking to us, we need to understand what He meant by it. Not what we think He meant, but what He actually meant. Because that's going to change everything. So we spent like 5 days together there at the camp as a family. But we also had Saturday and Sunday afterwards, and then Friday, Saturday beforehand, and we just spent a good 9 days together as a family. And we just, my husband and I, had really good talks, and he got to understand Micah's gibberish because he was around her, you know, 24/7. And I love watching him parent, and they love him. Like, I think they love me too, but they love him in a very different way. And moms, you know what I'm talking about. Your kids love your husbands in a very different way. And it's really sweet to watch that too. And then something else amazing happened. Sometimes my husband and I spend too much time together, like, we get into arguments. And we didn't get into one argument, like, in 9 days of being together. It was amazing. I loved it so much. And we both recognized the fact that that didn't happen. And we were both really grateful. And we're like, does that mean that we grew in knowing each other? Or, like, are we maturing in this thing? Whatever it is, thank you, Jesus. So that was really great. And then there was one more amazing thing that happened that I will share with you in 1 second. It doesn't matter what time of day I record our episodes, but I feel like my kids just know in their bodies, like, mommy must be recording. Let me start crying. So, sorry about that. It seems like it is a general occurrence. But anyways, back to the episode. The last thing that happened, which happened actually on the Tuesday while we were there, was probably the biggest thing for me. All the other things were pretty great too, but this one was kind of like, whoa, my giant takeaway. On Tuesday, there was a ladies' day, and a lady named Stephanie Hogan was sharing about friendship with God, and she was just talking about Abraham, and she gives like a general overview of Abraham's walk with God and how God asks him to leave his family and leave everything and go to this land that He's going to show him. And He has a covenant with him and promises him things and walks with him. And even when Abraham, like, messes up by lying about his wife being his sister, or, I don't know. Yeah, I guess that's the only mess up that I can think of, or at least the one that she shared. God still keeps His promise to Abraham, and this covenant to him, like a marriage covenant. Like, we are one. I belong to you. You belong to me. What's mine is yours. What's yours is mine. Which is crazy to think about, that the God of the universe would enter into a covenant, something so personal, with not only mankind, but a specific man. Like, God entered into a covenant with Abraham. And then John 15:15, I believe. Let me look at this paper. Yes. John 15:15 says, I no longer call you slaves, but I call you friends. A slave or a servant doesn't know what the master is doing, but a friend knows what he's doing. And that kind of goes back to a moment when God is about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. But he says, shall I tell Abraham what I'm about to do? Like, God didn't have to tell Abraham nothing. But he chose to tell Abraham, hey, I'm about to do this thing. That shows they're friends. Like, we can be in a covenant relationship, a friendship with God. What type of mess? like, that is actually unheard of in other religions and amazing. Like, I don't think Christians do a great job of understanding this, nor a great job of walking this out so that the world can see that what we get is something so much better, far better than just a religion, far better than just a set of practices. We get a relationship, a friendship, a covenant with the God that created all things. Okay, so that leads me into the end of Abraham's story that she shares with us, which the promise of I'm going to make you this great nation, I'm going to give you this son, he gives him Isaac. And then he asks him to give Isaac back to him by killing him. And the night before the sermon, I met Stephanie and we shared, like, I don't even know why I said what I said to her, but I was super honest about my life for a second, and she just gave me this sweet hug, and I don't know, she seemed like one of those people that, like, I don't know, you spill your guts to, but she said something about, like, having to trust her children with God, and then I was saying a similar thing, and then that Tuesday, she said, you know, I feel like the Lord is even telling me, like, I have to give my babies over to him. She said that, and I just began to cry. Reason why, obviously, this is a family camp, and they have, like, children's programs, and my husband was like, hey, do you want Noah Brynn to go to one of the, like, the 2 and 3-year-old class? And I was like, what? No. In my brain, of course. But at the same time, outside, I was like, I can't say that, because the reason why I don't want her to go is out of fear, and that's going to cause, you know, a whole different thing that I don't want to happen. And so I said yes. Now, our girls stay with me throughout the day, and the church we went to didn't have a youth it didn't have a children's department, so I don't have practice being apart from them often. Like, if anything, it's a friend babysitting, or a mom or mother-in-law, or my husband. Like, that's it. And my husband and I have had recent conversations about homeschooling, and will we do a co-op, will we put them in public school eventually, and all these things. And I could feel, like, this fear and anxiety rise up inside of me. Of, like, I know I have to hold on to them. And so that's what all began to come out when she says, I have to give my babies over to him. And she gave us this, like, sheet of paper and 7 minutes to, like, actually spend time with God and answer these questions. And the first questions was, what does Jesus want you to give him? So, kind of already had that answer. I have to give him my babies. Like, what? Does that mean I sacrifice them on an altar? No. But it does mean that they can't be more important to me than God is. I don't think that I'm idolizing them. I don't think that I am worshiping them more than I'm worshiping God. But I do think that I have this fear that if I don't protect them and keep them, then they will get harmed. And that fear is what I need to, like, that fear is idolatry. Because I am saying, I can control, I can protect them. You can't do it. Like, I can do better than you, God, in some sense. Which I don't, I don't believe. But obviously my actions show that. And so, I was just, oh my gosh, feeling so emotional. I'm like, oh my gosh, what does this mean? Like, oh, oh, sorry. That's kind of how it sounded. The second question is, what does Jesus want to give you? Something I thought was amazing. And I probably should look it up now that I say that. But, like, you know how God gives Sarai and Abram new names, Abraham and Sarah. She looked up, and so I will look up, but I'm going to share it, and hopefully you can look it up too, like that. God's name in the Old Testament was Yahweh. And when they get a new name, they get a part of his name, like Sarah, like the Yah, the same sound. And then the Abraham, like the way. Oh, I think I switched that up. Either way, when we give our lives over to God, he gives us a new nature. Like, our sinful nature has passed away. All things have become new. We get the Holy Spirit inside of us. We get Christ's righteousness on top of us. In some wonderful way, like, we get to partake in God's nature. Like, we get to be a part of in that covenant where what's mine is his and what's his is mine. Like, we, it's as if, like a marriage, we take his last name, you know, like, we are the bride of Christ. We take on his character, his name, his nature. And I was just thinking about, like, this fear that I have. Obviously, God wants me to give it to him because he can take care of it. And he wants me to, rather than having my identity and being their mom, because my identity is in that because it's like my job, right? He wants my identity to be his child, his friend. You know, like, I'm connected with you. Because if I am dependent on my children and my children are dependent on me rather than on God, neither of us can grow. Excuse me. Neither of us can grow and be who God wants us to be. And as much as I don't want this to happen, like, I don't want to hinder how my children may need to come to Jesus. You know, like, obviously I would like them to have, you know, come to Jesus at an early age and not have any struggle, you know, like, I would like it to be easy for them, but that may not be how they need to come. Like, they may need to feel like I don't love them so that they can find their love in Jesus. Like, I don't know. And it's just a weird thing to think about, but I gotta remember that I am not the Holy Spirit in their life. That my job is not to keep them from falling away. Like, that is God's job to do, and I have to trust him to do his job. And so all of this is happening. I'm weeping profusely, and it's over. And I talk to her, and I share with her that I'm very grateful and all the things that I went through, and then we set up a time to, like, her and I to pray, because she's feeling similar ways. And it was really sweet just us to get to talk about our lives and where our hearts are and get to pray over one another. But I meet up with my husband afterwards. I tell him all of these things, and he was like, well, no, Brynn, tell mommy what you did. And she didn't answer as he wanted her to. But I asked, like, so what did you guys do? And he's like, you really want to know? Well, Micah and I sat in the car and watched TV while Noah went to the 2 and 3 year old class. And I was like, oh. And he was like, she did a great job. She played by herself. I took pictures. I checked on her every 20 minutes. And it's just really funny that it happened at the same time. The moment that I was emotionally releasing her, she was already physically being released. And it's probably perfect that I didn't know. And then after that, she went 2 or 3 more times. And this fear that she, I don't know, she's not going to like me anymore, or she's not going to want to be with me, she's going to want to be with them. And I mean, I understand, like, my future fears too, but, like, for example, I don't want them necessarily to fall into sexual sin like I did in public school. Doesn't mean they won't do that at home either, you know, but it's different there. But at the same time, I don't want them to be, like, completely dependent on me with homeschool too. And again, it's just like that sights on the future, like, how do I protect them from these things, but then propel them in other ways, you know, propelling them not to independence but dependence on God, and then protect them from, you know, sin in certain ways that I can. So just interesting questions, and just having to navigate the emotions that are going on in my heart, but being able to lay that down, and it was really important for me this week. And if you are at all like me, which in some senses, if you're a stay-at-home mom, I feel like you might be, this might be something you might need to have a conversation with God about too, and your husbands. But until then, can I pray over you? Father, I thank you that you are really gracious, that you call us friends, that you desire to enter into a covenant relationship with us, where you tell us what's on your heart, and then we can tell you what's on ours. I don't know much about other religions, but I don't know any that have a God that is as personal as you. You are not just the creator of the world, but you are also our Father and our friend. You are holy, and you are seated on your throne, high above all things, and you are near to the brokenhearted. And you comfort us when we cast our cares upon you. You are holy other, and you are sweet and good. And for that, God, we praise you. We thank you. We share our hearts and our lives with you, and desire to really be your friend, and really be your children, and really walk with you, and walk before you, and know you, and trust you to do what you do. We need to trust you with our children. God, we need to trust you with our kids. That doesn't mean that we're not intentional. That doesn't mean that we don't protect or propel or develop or discipline. Not at all. It just means that we don't take your role in their life, but we act in our role. That is humility. We want to partner with you, God. as you reveal to us the plan that you have for them, and as we can work with you on how to prepare them for those good works that you've prepared beforehand. So we just thank you and praise you and ask for your help continually. In Jesus' name, amen. If you liked today's episode, please subscribe. If you loved it, please share. If you got a habit, please write a review or just tap the 5 stars. That'd be great too. And if you want more, tune in next week because we've got a few weeks left before I go on like a maternity leave sabbatical thing, because I'm like 8 months pregnant or something. But I'm excited to kind of wrap up this love series with you. There's something else that we learned at Brown City that ties in with the love series that I will share on a complete episode of itself. But I look forward to it, and I hope you do too. And until then, I will leave you with 2 Peter 1:2. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ rest on you and your families. I love you.